Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. If you're here in San Diego, I'm doing the show and then heading over to St. Therese of Carmel Parish, where Monica Dumit, who was on yesterday, is going to give a talk. She gave a apparently just a killer talk last night to the Legatus folks here in San Diego, and tonight a public talk over at Our Lady of St. Therese of Carmel Parish. And maybe we'll see you there. If you're anywhere around here in San Diego, come on over. We'll see you there. There's all kinds of free food and drink and just a great talk from the Director of Public Policy for the Archdiocese of Sydney, Australia, Monica Dumit. Boy, do we have two good hours for you here today. Two really good hours. Second hour, Father Sam Keyes, who's always fun to have on. And we ask a priest. We'll end the work week, the Monday through Friday work week here with Ask a Priest. You can ask him whatever you'd like. And you don't have to be Catholic to call. This hour, she's back. We've missed her so much. Rose Sweet is back. And this weekend, Father's Day weekend. So we're going to talk to Rose about fatherhood. And if you've got questions for Rose, 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet, of course, life coach, author, Catholic speaker, and all-around Catholic superstar, Rose Sweet, thank you for being here.
I'm a good cook, too.
And a good cook. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I left something off.
I missed you guys
and
so
And a snappy
much.
Dresser.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I missed you very much. It's really good to be back.
Yeah. People have noticed, you know. They've been like, what did you do to Rose?
Why I know. And I want to thank everybody out there for prayers and everything while I was taking care of business these last few
Well, we're awful glad to have you back. We were just talking about your dad. He sounds like quite a man.
He was wonderful.
Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, we had nine kids, and he married my mom when he was 40. So I came along. I'm the first one at 41, and he had eight more after that.
Good Lord.
And he was never afraid. He told all of his kids, every baby brings its own bread. Just trust God.
Isn't that a beautiful example for a father to set?
He was wonderful. So he grew up as a Methodist in Northern California. He was born in 1910, and he gave his heart to Jesus in a tent revival by
Good
a traveling evangelist. Yes. It was an altar call, and he remembers being 11 years old and going down and giving his heart to Jesus. And then he meets my mom. And she's Roman Catholic and practicing and devout. And she goes, I can't even date you. I can't marry you because you're not Catholic. And he's going, oh, that's ridiculous. And so he set about a almost 4-year journey of diving into every world religion to prove my mother wrong.
Really?
And as we all know, what happens mind.
He proved her right.
he was sold out to the Catholic Church and he converted. And he raised all of us as Catholic kids. And they sacrificed. You know, he didn't spend any money on himself ever except a new car every few years. To put us all through Catholic school and paid for our Catholic tuition. That was the biggest gift he gave all his kids, was developing, you know, our faith. But he was also sturdy and practiced in his faith, and he would always refer to God the Father and how God fathered his children. And we'd go, yeah, right?
Yeah.
But he would say, I will never withhold my love, but I might withhold my favor.
Oh, wow.
To teach you a lesson.
Wow. He had a real insight, didn't he?
Well, it would refer to scripture. Look how God treats his people. He never abandoned us, but he'd pull back on the blessings when we were going down the wrong path.
I heard that he fired you.
Yeah, that's a good example. So I went to him in my early 20s, and I said, Dad, can I borrow $1,000? My girlfriend and I want to move to a nice little apartment. He goes, well, no, honey, I don't want to lend it to you. He goes, but you can work for me. So I was like, oh. So he made me type his commercial real estate appraisal reports for a month to earn the money. And when I saw how much money my dad made, I said, Dad, could I be a commercial real estate appraiser?
So, well, he had nine kids, though.
Well, and so he taught me the business, and it was really a man's business way back then. And for 30 years, Dad and I worked side by side in good times and bad times. And I became I was always his daughter, but I became his friend and his business partner, his partner in crime.
Wow.
And it was a really rich, beautiful time of life. Yeah. And he passed 20 years ago.
I noticed you just skipped over the part about when he fired you.
Oh,
You told the whole story and that did not include the
firing. Okay, okay. So, you know, I started to think I was pretty smart, and I was, but I thought I was smarter than him. And I was, this is how we should do business, Dad. And he goes, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. And as a matter of fact, get your person, you're fired. And, you know, he'd had it up to here with something. And I went home and I cried. And I knew he didn't really mean it. Mm-hmm. He meant it, but he didn't really mean it. But I knew what to do. So the next morning I came back all sheepish and, Dad, I'm sorry. And he goes, oh, honey, I'm sorry too. And I crawled up in his lap. And about 10 minutes later, it was business as usual. That happened a few other times.
So. You were fired multiple times by your own father.
Yeah.
Well, I think this, I'm so glad to get that reflection on your father. It's we all have just wildly different experiences of fatherhood from our father, all the way from the truly horrific and mm-hmm. tragic to the really beautiful like mm-hmm. that, a father who's a man of faith, who shares the faith with his children, leads the family in faith, mm-hmm. and then fires you a couple times mm-hmm. when you get older.
Because that's what God would have done. And he made that very clear to us. You know, this is how God fathers his children. He wants you safe. He wants you virtuous. And he's not going to let you get too far off the path.
Yeah. And your dad didn't.
No, he was wonderful.
If you want to talk about the fatherhood, maybe particularly from the Christian perspective, you're welcome to call and talk with Rose as we prepare for Father's Day weekend, 888-318-7884. I know in your work, life coaching work and just the work that you do speaking and helping people, you actually come up against a lot of dads who feel quite alienated and separated from their children these days.
Yes, as many of my male clients are having trouble with their children, and it's either the child has rebelled, maybe the mother has undercut the father's authority for 20 years, mm-hmm. Maybe it's been a divorce situation. But their hearts are aching and they don't know how to reach their children. So they either pull back and do nothing, or they pursue them so relentlessly the kids are running, you know, running away from them.
Right, right.
And so I try to help them find that middle ground and have hope that things will turn out.
Well, let's do this then. Let's take some time with your tips for helping fathers who are alienated from children. And then we'll let dads talk with you. 888-318-7884.
Okay. The first thing, and it's not the last thing, is pray and fast. Pray and fast. Offer something up. You know, these are hard things that are attaching to our children and fathers and mothers. But today we're talking about dads. Pray and fast. Number two, be curious about your kids. This is something I don't think we naturally stop and think about. Before you teach them, get to know them. Ask them, how was your day? Who's your best friend? Do you like baseball? What do you hate about dancing? What did you like that ice cream we had for dessert? You know, just ask questions and get to know that little person, or if they're an adult child, maybe you never did it, it's not too late. Be curious about your kids and get to know them before you start try to teach them. And number three, make time for talk, not just activity. I know we pile the kids in the car, we go to a game, we go have a beer, we do all these things with our kids. And we never really open up and share our heart or ask about theirs. And that's where those teaching moments come in, the quiet moments in the car or on road trips, one-on-one time. So don't just share activity. Talk to your kids. My dad did that all the time, and that's how he imparted the faith. And his love, he imparted first his love for God, deep love for God. Okay, number four. Invite your kids into your world. Don't just sit down with your little daughters, like some say, and have a tea party with them or whatever, go to the kids' baseball game. That's great too, but also draw them out of the world of children and into the adult world appropriately every once in a while. My dad would take us to his office and let us sit and color, or we would file papers, or we would vacuum. And we got to be around adults and in my dad's world, and we were in his environment. And working with my dad for 30 years, it's to me an analogy of you and I are in the Lord's vineyard. We're working in our father's business right now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's right. We're working in the father's
business.
We're
working under him, and we're working with him and alongside him. So take your kids, not just take your kids to work, but into your world. And number five, hold a tender heart and a hard line.
This is a hard one.
Uh-huh.
This is a hard one.
Uh-huh.
It's one or the other. I mean, it's just hard to have a sense of, I don't know, when you have a tender heart, the line tends to get a little fuzzy. And when the line is firm, it's hard to be tender. You tend to be like, I gotta, you know, you get that.
Right, to exert your authority.
Yeah.
You know, when you realize you're slipping, your authority is slipping away, you want to get it back. So you go to that harsh place. And that doesn't do any good either.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's something that I think all men, whether you've had children yet or you're, you know, all men are called to share in God's fatherhood in some way in life. To be mentors, to be fathers, to be protectors. So pray for that balance, to have a tender heart, but to be able to hold the hard line like my dad did.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Rose Sweet's our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. There's a few lines open. We're talking about fatherhood as we head into the Father's Day weekend. I know you've heard a lot about fatherhood today and this week on the various programs on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and on your local stations. Rose does life coaching, and she's given us those tips for helping fathers today.
There is one more.
I know.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, Rose! You think that I forgot about you? You know what? I'm trying to have a tender heart, Rose, but I got to hold a firm line here. You have to let me finish
the phone number before
you interrupt me. 888-318-7884. All right, give us the last point.
No, I'm not going to give it to you now.
Oh, what? Oh, I have to take a break or something?
You have to fire me. Okay. Here's the last one. And this is even harder than the other one. Be appropriately detached.
Okay, help me with that. What does that mean?
This is in the Catechism. Okay. Catechism of the Catholic Church says about parenting, to have a disinterested service to your children. Disinterested service.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean don't care about them, but get your ego out of it.
Right.
If your kids don't like you and are mad at you and are withholding their affection, don't go soft.
Yeah.
Don't go soft. Don't hold their affection as an idol. That's why we can't do that. We can't stay detached as parents because our kids' affection is too much. We hold it in too high esteem.
Yeah, right, right. You can't fully be of service to them if you're trying to get your needs met with their affection.
That's right. And that's good and normal to want that, but you have to love God first and be okay without your kids' love and affection.
Lines are filling up. There's a couple lines open, 888-318-7884. We're talking about fatherhood in this very hard, it's a difficult time for fatherhood. Maybe I'll ask you a little bit about that when we come back from the break. But I'll let people talk to you first before I do that. But this whole idea of it has gotten tough out there on fathers, and in part because I guess we don't like manhood anymore.
And we women hold a very guilty role in that, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, I'm so glad it's your fault. I am so glad.
I'll take it.
888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. talking about fatherhood as we head into Father's Day. Rose Sweet is here. It's always nice when Rose is here. It was very nice to hear about your father. That's a beautiful testimony that you gave to your own father.
Thank you, Si.
And I think dads want to be good dads, and more there's a struggle of how to be a good dad in the world today. So we got a bunch of folks on the lines who want to talk
about it. Okay, can I interrupt again one more time, pretty please?
Oh, good Lord.
Here's a qualifying thing. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not a man. I'm not a dad. I don't want to be a dad.
Yeah.
But is the role of women and wives to support their husbands in their fatherhood, not compete and not undermine. And I come here to, you know, as a call to women, too, to support your men, support the husbands, help them. And in my work, I'm able to do that. So thank you for having me on.
Well, we're happy to have you for this.
Okay.
888-318-7884, the number. Let's start in Michigan. Joe's in Michigan listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Joe, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet. Hi, Joe.
Thank you. Hi. I have 9 children. The first 2 children were from an annulled marriage. I had custody of them. They ended up going, was doing, which was part of the annulment because she was into drugs and stuff like that. So they ended up having children out of wedlock, and they were kind of abusive to the other siblings as they were growing up. So it was causing trouble with my marriage, and we kept those 2 children away from the homeschool kids that then the 7 others that me and my wife have. And it's been bothering me for a long time, and I've been trying to get a hold of them, trying to be a part. But they're still in that mindset of being away from the church and doing what they want and having children out of wedlock, and I'm in a conundrum with that.
Yeah. Rose?
Yeah. Okay. This is so common, Joe. That's a sad situation to be in, but you're not alone in that, sadly. First of all, remember this. They have a Heavenly Father who knows them intimately and loves them passionately and will never abandon them and always has His hand over them in some way, shape, or form until the moment they die. He's got those kids. Okay. That should give you some relief there. Second of all, your kids have their own free will. They have conditioning, like you said. They have attitudes that you can't necessarily control or overcome now. But if you continually pray for your kids, and like I said in my tips, open the door. I don't know if you see them, but once a year on their birthday, send them a card. It doesn't have to be a big, long letter. Please come back to church. We love you. Nothing. Just, how are you doing? Keeping you in my prayers. Love you very much. That's all. Just let them know you're there. Why? Because that's what God did with His people, as we look in Scripture, is even when they were wandering around, He was sending prophets and He was letting them know, I'm still here, but He gave them the freedom and the time to either to come back to Him. And He wasn't running around the universe chasing people down. That's the thing that we get afraid of, and we either pursue or we distance. And so I want you to hold fast and firm in your knowledge that God, their Heavenly Father, loves them 10 million more times than you ever could. And just go to the Lord and ask Him, what can I do other than pray? And if all you can do is pray and send those annual cards for 10 more years, that could be really good. That could be the thing that flowers 20 years from now. Does that make sense?
Well, I can't go back to Joe. He dropped that. Something was up with that line. So
okay.
We'll hope that makes sense.
Joe, yes. I hope. And we're praying for you, too.
Thank you, Joe. The number is 888-318-7884. Going to Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom in Omaha, you are next. Tom, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Thank you for taking my call. Here's my question. What do you do about men who cannot bond? They don't bond well with their spouses, and they certainly don't bond with their kids, let alone their sons. And what do you do about that? And you sometimes don't. And bonding with the sons, or failure to bond with the sons, is the chief cause of homosexuality. Well, what do you do with these men, or how do you deal with that inability to bond? What do you suggest?
Tom, I'm so glad that you brought this up, because in a lot of circles today, people don't really believe there are people who cannot bond, but this has been a long-known, sad brokenness in some people. It's a deep psychological wound, and they may go to their death being unable to form a really safe and trusting connection with another human person. I have this in my own family, so I hear you on that. There is nothing you can do to bring them around to the condition that you may want them to be. So I'm going to say there's nothing you can do in that regard, but you can, as I said, always pray, always trust God, and find other, for yourself or whoever you're talking about, find other men as mentors and substitute fathers, and be thankful for that. We're not ever going to be able to get every single thing we want out of our dads. No dad can bear that weight. And there are cases where an inability to bond, it's a trauma. But there's nothing you can do to change that sometimes. Therapy, meds, long, intense work, yes, there could be hope. But most therapists today and psychiatrists today say that in many cases, it's not going to happen. So you take care of you. Trust God. Stay healthy.
Tom, thanks very, very much for the call. We're talking about fatherhood with Rose Sweet, particularly the challenges of fatherhood today. Many of them, I don't know that there's new challenges, but there's intensity in certain areas of the challenges fathers
face. That's a good
face,
way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to another Tom in Lubbock, Texas. Tom, thank you very much for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yes.
Hi, Tom.
Hello. Appreciate you guys very much. You're very helpful to a lot of people. I was married 20 years and had two kids. They're 24 and 22 now. And it is a divorce situation and an old. So that was, again, 6 years ago, the divorce and annulment. Well, the annulment took about a year after that. But I'm sad. You know, it's Father's Day weekend. My dad, my folks, they were both cradle Catholic, great examples. Going to Mass was something we did, certainly every Sunday, and then the extra days, mm-hmm. the holy days of obligation. That's just how I grew up, and married someone who was not Catholic. She did convert. She didn't like being Catholic. I won't get into all that, but my kids, they basically ghosted me. Sometimes they respond to a text. They won't answer a phone call. And I don't even have their address. I mean, they wouldn't give it to me. It hurts. The heartache is deep, and I don't know what to do. I just know that this is going on 6 years, and it doesn't seem like it's going to change. I do keep sending a text. Now, sometimes they do respond. Sometimes they don't. I'll send a text for their birthday, Christmas, Easter. The other thing I would just ask, what would you suggest? And then the other thing that is hard is my ex, who I married, she's had a lot of tragedy in her life. And, it did cause difficulty in the marriage. And, she definitely convinced them that they could, what she says is they can love their dad, but they have to love him from far away.
Okay. All right, Rose.
This, sadly, as I told the other caller, this is very painful for you, but it is not uncommon at all. Many of my clients who are dads whose children have ghosted them. Here's some good news. I'm just going to give you some encouraging news. First of all, they're still babies. What do they know about life? Are they married? When they get married and have their own kids, they're going to go through a lot of changes. And the hard wiring that God puts in every child to know the father and to love the father and to be connected with their father will rise again. And what I would tell all my clients like this, just be patient. do what I tell you, you know, pray and fast and send those cards. Don't overly pursue because they'll just run away. Just let them know you're there and you wait, even if it takes 10 or 15 or 20 years, because there's something about the growth process. And when they become parents themselves, there's a lot of change. And we hear a lot of stories where kids, you know, they were 16 and 18 when that divorce happened. They weren't fully formed, you know, mentally and emotionally. So there's hope. You have to stay strong like a lighthouse, firm in your faith, optimistic for the future, and be patient.
Tom, thank you very, very much. We're talking with Rose Sweet as we head into the Father's Day weekend here in the United States. If you got a question about fatherhood or the modern struggles of fatherhood, give us a call right back after this. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Matt Swaim here. Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll take a look at this week in Catholic history with Kevin Schmiesing and get you all the latest news, weather, sports, and more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Rose Sweet is back. We haven't had Rose with us for a while. People started protesting and getting mad, so we were like, we have to relent and have her back. And here
maybe
she is.
Someday you'll pay me.
That's so funny, Rose.
What?
That's a great joke.
No,
you're so funny.
And my dad told funny jokes too, but you told it wasn't funny, but you told something good to me personally at the break about your kids and you're worried about
them. Oh my gosh, that's why I say it at the break, is because I don't want to know. I'll share it. I was just telling you about how with my kids in their 20s, sometimes I would start thinking, oh my goodness, what is this kid doing? And when are they going to get it together? And then I would think, well, what was I doing at their age? I think, they're fine. They're fine. No problem. They're going to be all right.
It doesn't mean...
Because you forget what it's like to be 24, right, or 25 or 26.
Yeah, yeah, and you might still have the problem, but it takes it down on a level.
Yeah,
right?
You think,
right?
Okay,
your anxiety.
Yeah, these things work. They work their way out. And I have, you know, it's funny because I have a daughter now who's 29. And the difference between her at 23 and 29 is like 20 years of growth. I don't know how it happened, but...
Well,
that's what happens in your
20s. That's what I was just saying about this. The previous caller's kids, they're in their early 20s. They're still figuring things out.
Yeah.
When they get a little settled down, they're going to turn and look at dad again.
888-318-7884 is the number. We'll come right back here to California. Michael's in Los Angeles watching on YouTube. Michael, thanks for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Thank you so much. I'm curious,
what type of advice or books do you have for fathers who have children in, let's say, between ages 7 and 15, and the school is indoctrinating them to the LGBTQ lifestyle? What type of books or advice do you have for a father? Maybe
I'm going to give advice even before Rose does.
And I know
this may not
say
be
it.
An option
say
for
it.
You.
Get
them out.
Out
of those schools.
That's what I was going to
And I will tell you that from personal experience. I'm sorry. Some of the stuff that's being said and done in California public schools is insane. And it's hurtful to children and confusing to them. And some of the educators, there's millions of wonderful educators, but some of these educators actually feel that their job is to fix all these crazy Christian ideas and stuff that the kids are getting at home. And those helpful people, and I put helpful in quotes, are really damaging families. Now, it may not be possible. Not all families can get the kids out of those schools. But if you can, get them out. Don't wait. Because if you think it's bad, it's worse than what you think. The kids are not telling you everything.
It is way worse. And I'm glad you said that. Okay, here's what I would add to that. Rather than trying to get a book, and I don't know of any books written for Christian children or parents of children, this whole alphabet soup thing, I can't even say it. It's so new still. We haven't caught up to it, I don't think, like we will in the near future. But you know when they're trying to train people about counterfeit bills?
Oh, yes, I know.
Okay,
you're
so
say.
They don't train them with counterfeits. They sit them in a room and have them touch and feel and smell and be surrounded by the real thing all day long. So when they leave that room, they can spot a counterfeit right away. So I would say instead of focusing on what the kids are being taught and saying why that's wrong or blah, 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 focus on virtue. Focus on the theology of their body. Focus on what the Catholic Church teaches about the dignity of the person. There's a lot of good books out there written by Rua Woods is one resource that has a lot of the theology of the body content written for, you know, grade school kids.
Will you say it again?
Rua Woods.
Okay. Rua Woods. All right.
I don't have more, but Google, they have theology of the body resources that are fabulous you can get. So again, I would say that, Michael, pray and fast, be curious about what your kids are learning, make time to talk about things, you know, and just get that discussion going. You have an uphill battle because even though they love you and adore you and trust you, they go to school and they see all these shiny, interesting, fascinating, entertaining things. And their children and their minds, their brains aren't formed and they're just swept away. So it's a battle. So back to what you said, if you can get them out, get them out.
Michael, I want to come back to you and get your response.
Is there some of us are kind of poor, so we can just take our kids out? Is there like a Catholic Answers, like video collection for homeschooling, maybe a video for children for homeschooling or things like that?
Well,
be a cheaper version and put them in private school.
Oh, you're talking about like for homeschooling purposes, because Catholic Answers doesn't.
Like videos of Catholic videos or something like that. Maybe
no, but that's what
the way to do it.
I think that's
cheaper
what,
than private schooling because everything's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So I'm sorry, you were focusing just on the LGBTQ issues, but no, if you just want a good, rounded, solid Catholic education, there are a lot of resources out there. Dr. Ray Guarendi, who's on this program a lot more than me, and that always makes me mad. But
well,
anyway,
more than we'd like to.
Yeah. Anyway,
Dr.
Ray.
That came out wrong. I apologize, Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray, DRRAY.com. He has lots of great parenting and homeschooling resources with a really solid Catholic underpinning, Michael. I think you would like his stuff.
Yeah, and there are, online, there's tons of resources. Ignatius Press has a brand new, they did it with the Augustine Institute, brand new set of materials for families. You can go to, I just looked at, right now, I'm looking at the Rua Woods Institute that you talked about. But there is no shortage of materials because I think many of the Catholic educational apostolates and institutions know what parents are dealing with. They have developed these things, and there are free or very low cost materials all over the place for Catholic education.
I think the theology of the body is the antidote to understanding that is the antidote to this whole sexual disordered perversion thing that we're seeing. It really is based in an understanding of how God created us and how good we are as male and female. And there are wonderful materials. Kids need to know that.
Michael, thanks. Thanks very, very much. You can also get Trent Horn's book Made This Way. As a matter of fact, hang on. I'll tell you, since we gave you was advice, and we can give you an actual book. We'll put it in your hands. If you hang on the line, we'll send you Made This Way. Which is a wonderful, this is a good book to read if you want to discuss these things with your kids. And anybody else wants it, it's available at shop.catholic.com. Thank you, Michael. Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking about fatherhood. Patricia, I'm coming to you in Pennsylvania, but this is what I'm talking about the intensity. That there was a time when parents didn't send kids off to school and the guidance counselor was trying to convince your daughter that she's gay.
Right.
But I'm just using that as one example because there's 1,000 different things. But that's what parents are dealing with these days. The guidance counselor thinks you're, that they're the liberator of your children from you.
And it did start in the 60s. I know when I was still in school, the counselor would try to put the girls on the pill. That was a big thing.
Yeah,
these
helpful people is what
Right. Now here it is. Here, we'll take you to the doctor and you can have major sex surgery.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The transgenderism. The other thing that, so there's this active confusing and misdirecting and miseducating of children going on. I know it's intense here in California. I know it in part because teachers will, I get these emails where the teachers send, they'll go, look at this. This is what was in our training this week in the LA Unified School District. And you look at it and you go, I wouldn't share that with my children. There's no way that I would share that with my children. But this is the training that the teachers are
getting.
And
that's the counterfeit. Remember, that's the counterfeit. Don't focus on the counterfeit. That's what they want you to do because you'll never win that argument.
No, right.
So not ignore it, but move over and help your children understand the truth, the real $100 bill of who they are as male and female, made in God's image.
Yep. And if your Catholic diocese is not helping with homeschooling, I think they're making a terrible mistake. And I don't mind saying it. Bishops who are saying, oh, I don't want to get involved in that homeschooling thing. I'm just about the Catholic schools. No, Catholic schools should be one resource, but we need lots of resources for parents. In these times, I don't want to cut the callers off though, because I will
preach
see,
it.
Look at you get me.
Rose. This is a very important, passionate topic for everybody. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and you don't find out until your kids are in their 20s what was said to them in high school or in junior high. Mm-hmm. But let's go to Patricia in Pennsylvania watching on YouTube. Patricia, thanks so much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Very well,
Patricia.
Thank you.
Hi, Rose. You helped me a couple years back, and I want to say thank you so much. I was estranged from my daughter, and you advised for me to draw closer to the Lord, which I did. And she called me last Christmas saying, I keep seeing you in my mirror instead of me. And she just couldn't get me out. That was the Lord's work.
Oh, good.
So I want to thank you for that. Now, my question is going to sound, perhaps this should be a weird question, but anyway, my kids, quote unquote, are in their mid-40s. And they're both, from my standpoint, searching. They're searching.
Right.
That's what I see. And they'll both say that. So I want to know, as a mother, I see a deficit in their relationship with their father. And if that comes across as holier than thou, so be it. Is there any way as a mother that I could be of help to my grown adult children to make up for a deficit that I see? I've never bad-mouthed them, I never have. However, we're divorced, so that's kind of what I guess my question is too. In a developmental stage, does that sort of halt development when when they were young, mid-teens.
Yes, Patricia, divorce is a horrible trauma to everybody, and the wounds can last a long time. But I always remember to tell people that our Lord is still in the business of healing wounds. So our wounds can be healed. It just takes time, sometimes a little bit of money, and a lot of patience. I don't think that you were being holier than thou when you look objectively at somebody who's doing something deficient and calling that as deficient. That's not about their character. It's about what they're doing or not doing. So if a father is deficient, the mother cannot make up for that as he can or a man can. We are not wired to. We are not called by God to. But we can bring gifts of healing in our own right as women. We can pray. We can look for other women, for other men to come into our children's lives. We can't fix their father. And we can't substitute for the father. And only men can bring other boys, men, into the world of men. We can't do it as women. And we should be okay with that. That's not our job. But we're not alone. As Christians, we remember that we have our Lord, we have God the Father, we have the Holy Spirit, we have all the angels and saints, our Blessed Mother. We are in a company of people who are fighting for our children with us. So pray for their dad. Pray for them, be patient, and ask God, what can I do to help that wound in their heart? Does that make sense, Patricia?
Oh, certainly does. And I will, and I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Patricia. We got to take a break. There's a couple lines open if you'd like to talk with Rose. Father's Day this weekend here in the United States. If you're a father and you've got questions about fathering in these difficult times, or maybe you've got a father. Oh, wait, everybody's got a father. And you've got some questions about healing from those wounds or building that relationship, 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
If you've never been to EWTN's free family celebration, this is your year. Your EWTN family is waiting for you where it all began in Birmingham, Alabama. Join us Saturday, August 26th as we celebrate Mother Angelica's love for the Eucharist and mark the centennial year of Mother's birth. For more information on this free event, visit EWTN.com/family celebration. We want to see you there.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. A lot of ties being sold today at the mall.
Yeah, what are you doing for Father's Day today? I mean, this weekend.
My wife has arranged for all of my children to, and for us to all have dinner together.
Aww.
So that's very, very nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's very nice because most of them I really like. I'm only kidding.
Those are my future coaching clients. I know. I know your father. Come talk to me.
You come see me. I have some things I can help you with. 888-318-7884. Actually, probably people don't go to the mall and buy a tie anymore. They probably already ordered
Amazon.
On Amazon. They've gotten the whatever the dad gift is. And we love those gifts. Do you know, can I just tell you before we go to the call about my favorite Father's Day gift ever? I think I've told Darren about this. My daughters, when they were like 3 and 5, every night they wanted me to read from this Disney princess book to them. And my wife took them to the bookstore because she knows that I want books. So we'll find a book for daddy for Father's Day. They went to the children's section and they found volume 2 of the Disney princess book. And they were like, dad is going to love this because they thought that I loved the reason. I guess in their view, I read it every night. I must love it. You should have seen the look on their faces when I opened it. They were like, oh, we nailed it. Oh, we nailed it, Dad.
That's so sweet. Yeah. Did Missy tell you ahead of time?
No, she did not. Oh. She let me find out while I was opening it. And I was like, girls, oh my gosh. I got the second Disney Princess book. This is the best.
Oh, that's great.
I don't read it every night, though. Now that they're grown up, I don't read it anymore. Amanda in Portland, Oregon, listening on Catholic.com. You are next. Thanks for the call, Amanda. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. That was really funny. First, I just wanted to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
And I don't want to detract from the focus. On father specifically, but since a dad called in and was asking, it got me thinking that, you know, fathers as spiritual heads of households are probably thinking a lot about their kids these days. And I've lived in a couple other countries where there is funding, government funding for homeschooling. You can actually decide whether your kids will go to public school or whether you will take the funds yourself to raise your kids. And I was wondering if there are any movements to help parents figure out how to do that or to advocate for that in any of the states.
Amanda, that's a great question. It's called a voucher system, and it's been raised for decades. People are hungry to be able to have the government offer that, but I don't know any state yet. Do you, Cy, that has made that available?
No, there's certain states you think, well, they probably do, Florida, but I don't know. Yeah. I know the thing is in Maine, have you heard about this? Mm-hmm. In Maine, they had a Supreme Court case because the state of Maine paid for private schooling, but they wouldn't pay for religious private schooling. So the religious school sued. The Supreme Court said that's bigotry. You can't do that. So Maine, instead of paying for the private schooling, the religious private schooling, they made new laws about, like, you know, if you don't do certain things like teach LGBT or whatnot, then you can't have
that. Oh, you don't get the funding.
So it's clearly just designed to keep the – so back to the Supreme Court we go. So I know there are movements to do this, but there are also counter movements of just trying to crush this.
Yeah, so, because that's our culture is leaning in that way anyway. It's an uphill battle. I mean, that's a good question, Amanda.
But you're getting the big I don't know, Amanda, from us. Yeah. Thanks.
We pay the taxes, right? So.
I know.
Well, that would be the theory that many people operate under. Yes, but that's – well, we had in many Western states, the state constitutions included what were called Blaine Amendments. I think states all – and now Blaine Amendments are illegal. They were overruled by the Supreme Court. But the Blaine Amendment is just a – it's a flat-out anti-Catholic amendment that was supposed to try to – make sure that not a penny ever went to a Catholic school, even for a disabled child or for a bus ride to school. You couldn't. And I think quite thankfully it was finally recognized as just plain straight up religious bigotry. But many people have this false idea of there's a separation of church and state, therefore you can't fund religious schools. That was never. That's not right. That's not how that works. We have federal funding for religious schools all over the place. Think of Notre Dame University. Well, federal funds go to Notre Dame University. It's just they don't want to pay for elementary and high schools, and I'm sure there are good-hearted people who believe that, but what they believe, despite their good hearts, is in bigotry. That's what that is. It's anti-religious bigotry.
I know that there are ways to fund homeschooling for your kids, but it would require radical change of your life. Maybe selling a car, downsizing and putting four kids in a bedroom. I mean, radical things. And that's a decision. It is difficult.
Darren's like, I'm doing all those things. I still can't afford.
I know. No, I know. Yeah. And that's true. And I look at I was talking about my dad. And there were 9 of us.
Yeah.
And I got other stories, man. We didn't get new shoes. We were so, all that money went to tuition. We didn't go to summer camp. We didn't do anything. It was Catholic school tuition. And one time I had bad shoes at school, and I guess the nun got mad at me. She was horrible. I had good nuns. Anyway, she gave me $2 and told me to take it home and give it to my parents for new shoes. My dad knocked on her door the next day at school.
Don't pick on
and
my
had
kid.
Words outside with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can, again, a quick internet search and you'll find the groups that are advocating for those things. There's millions of people who are involved in this movement. Just not me and Rose.
But I support him and I pray for it.
Oh, I do too. I do too. It's basic justice. And also it has to do with the survival of the civilization. You can't ruin education for children or ruin the relationships between parents and children because the school doesn't like the parents' religious views and think that your civilization is going to survive. It ain't. I'm going to keep going. Jason in Staten Island, New York, listening on EWTN Radio. You are next. Go ahead, Jason, with your question.
Good afternoon, guys. So I have a five-year-old boy. Just drives me crazy, and it kind of stresses me out. Mm. His mother lets him, you know, play the tablet, and it just, like, when I try to get him, like, you know, not discipline him, but try to tell him to do something, it's like he's focused, and when you take it away from him, it's like he snaps, and it's like he starts, you know, freaking out. Give me my tablet. And how do you deal with something like that?
Okay, that is a stressful thing. I can hear it, and I understand it. Jason, what you need right now is daddy school, parenting school. You know, we weren't taught as young people how to be parents in situations like this. So I love Dr. Ray Guarendi, drray.com. I'm always going to put him on there. He has a book called You're a Better Parent Than You Think, A Guide to Common Sense Parenting. And what you want to do is set boundaries with your little wild man. But I'm going to tell you this as a coach, there's probably something in you first that needs to be addressed that is keeping you from setting healthy boundaries. You're afraid of looking bad or being mean or being put down by the mother. I don't know, lots of things. But get help because there is answers. There are solutions. You just need a new plan. Does that make sense, Jason?
Hang on, Jason. I think I put you on hold. Go ahead. Does that make sense to you, Jason?
Yeah, it's just hard because when I grew up, you know, we weren't babysat. We weren't being babysat by the TV or by tablets. We went outside. We actually got involved, played with other kids. And I think all this technology just makes it harder to be a father.
Oh, no, well, hang on, Jason, because you know what? I was just talking with Cy about that earlier. We were in front of the screen in the 50s and 60s, too.
I was watching I Dream of Jeannie.
Right, exactly. I was watching Wild Wild West or whatever.
But I love that Wild Wild West.
So here's the thing, though.
That was good.
Mom and Dad would come in and turn off the TV and say, get outside. And we would go. Because if we didn't listen to them, we got a whooping. Or we didn't get dinner. Or we didn't get dessert. We had good boundaries and discipline in our home. So we can't blame the devices totally. You are the parent. And he's five. You can take that tablet away and not give it back to him.
I really want to stress that you're a better parent than you think, a guide to common sense parenting. Ray Guarendi is really good at this, and he can be very, mm-hmm. very helpful. And
yeah.
I think he raised how many kids? 40?
10 50, kids. Five of them are special needs, all adopted. And he's got a lot of good things about, you know, how to really see and love your child, but hold firm authority like God the Father does with us.
Again, I'm going to say the title because in case you're resisting, You're a Better Parent Than You Think, A Guide to Common Sense Parenting. I forget who the publisher is, but it's not us, so I can't give it to you for free. But you can find it at low cost on wherever they sell the
good
books.
And let me
add
this too, Jason. We're not going to get into marriage counseling here, but your wife needs to be on the same page with you. Sometimes problems with children are evidence of a marriage problem. And that means that you're not on the same page and you're not working together. If you want to take that tablet away for a time calmly, and you know, as the father, your wife should back you up on that and say that to the child. Oh, my mom did that all the time. That's your father. You listen to him.
Yeah.
You get out of that chair. That's your father's chair. You know, Dad came, he was a priority over us.
Thanks very much for the call, Jason. Thanks to everybody who called. Thanks to our guest, Rose Sweet. It's so nice to have you back here. It's over already, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. The good part's over. Next, Father Sam Keys.
Happy Father's Day, Cy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much, Rose. I do appreciate that. Father Sam Keys, he's a father and he's a father. I'll explain that when he gets here. But ask a priest next hour on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884.